A Sunday feast lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on May 11, 1980. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, Text 21.
Text 21, Chapter 15, Canto 1.
Tadvai dhanustha ishava saratho hayaste sohang rati nipatayo yata anamanti sarvang shanena tarabhuda sarisha riktang basman hutang kuhako radham ivoptamushyam.
Translation Anuvad. I have the very same Gandiva bow, Arjuna is speaking, the same arrows, the same chariot, drawn by the same horses, and I use them as the same Arjuna to whom all the kings offer their due respects. But in the absence of Lord Krishna, all of them, at a moment's notice, have become null and void. It is exactly like offering clarified butter on the ashes, accumulating money with a magic wand, or sowing seeds on the barren land. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As we have discussed more than once, one should not be puffed up by borrowed plumes. All energies and powers are derived from the Supreme Source, Lord Krishna, and they act as long as He desires and cease to function as soon as He withdraws. All electrical energies are received from the powerhouse, and as soon as the powerhouse stops supplying energy, the bulbs are of no use. In a moment's time, such energies can be generated or withdrawn by the supreme will of the Lord. Material civilization without the blessing of the Lord is child's play only. As long as the parents allow the child to play, it is all right. As soon as the parents withdraw, the child has to stop. Human civilization and all activities thereof must be dovetailed with the supreme blessing of the Lord. And without this blessing, all advancement of human civilization is like decoration on a dead body. It is said here that a dead civilization and its activities are something like clarified butter on ashes. The accumulation of money by a magic wand and the sowing of seeds in a barren land. Here we see Arjuna was the great warrior in Kurukshetra, Juddha. And he defeated so many Maharathis. He was assigned by Lord Sri Krishna to guard the queens. But Krishna's Duta, Vishnu Duta, came disguised as Gandharva. And when they came to take away the queens, Arjuna's weapons were powerless. In the same way, we should understand that everyone's power is derived from the Supreme Lord. Here in the West, we see that there are so many machines. And these machines have made a vast development. But with only machines, is it possible to be happy? Kevala jantra ki dwar kisi sukh ho sakta hai. Simply by machines, is it possible? My Hindi bahut acha nahi. Thoda thoda janta hu. That simply with machines, one is not possible to be happy. We cannot eat the nuts and the bolts. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, he used to criticize the Western disciples that you Westerners, you are simply attached to machines. You cannot go to sleep without smelling a machine at night. That if you have some telephone or some machine, then you can get to sleep. Otherwise not. And he told a story about one jila, one fisherman in India, that in previous time the grihasthas, they were habituated to asking if anyone was hungry. And so one grihastha, he went outside and he looked to see if anyone was hungry, he called. He saw one fisherman. He said, "Have you taken your meal?" Aapko khana ho gaya? Lanai. So he brought him inside. Then he said, "Please leave your basket outside. Basket is smelling too much." So the fisherman came inside and out in the courtyard he gave him some food. He asked the fisherman, "You have any place to sleep tonight?" He said, "No." "It's all right, you sleep here. And you leave in the morning." He said, "Thank you very much." So that night the fisherman went to sleep. About 1 or 2 in the night, the grihastha, he had to get up for some nature's call. And when he saw how the guest is doing, he sees he's tossing and turning. He said, "How you are sleeping?" And he replied that, "My sleep is very disturbed. I cannot get to sleep." "Why is this? What is the difficulty?" And the fisherman said, "Difficulty is I can't sleep without my basket. I'm used to the smell." Without smelling that basket, that fishy smell, I can't get to sleep. So then the grihastha, "All right, so bring in your basket so you can go to sleep." Then he went to sleep soundly. In the same way, everything has to have a machine in the West. If you brush your teeth, it needs a machine. Everything. So in this way, people have become addicted. The machines are okay. Nothing is wrong with machines. Except if we think that machines are our happiness, then we are foolish. Because every day they're inventing a new machine. But these machines aren't what is going to give us the actual happiness we are seeking. If we use the machine in Krishna's service, or we use the machine in our business and give something in Krishna's service, that will give us actual spiritual bliss. Otherwise, just the machine, just like Arjuna, he had his Gandiva bow, dhanuk tear, but when he needed them most, their power was finished. We have so many machines. Yesterday I took a tour of the Science Museum, and there it had a chart 65 years before all oil finished. That is their prediction. Of course, if there's a war, then it'll be finished much quicker. Then the situation will be very critical, because all the farming is done in the Western country by tractor, and tractor runs on what? On petroleum products. Of course, in India, still they are using the bullock. In most of the places. So now they are considered backward. But if there's a petroleum shortage, then they'll be considered very advanced. In fact, you may be thinking, I'm just saying this, but I have proof. Because I was recently in London, and the government was advertising in the newspaper that all farmers who had known how to use horses, they should come and become instructors. And those farmers who wanted to learn how to use horses, they'll get paid £100 a week because they're expecting a huge petroleum crisis. Previously, they had horses for plowing, for carrying the crops, but everyone forgot horses. They're just laying there, unused. So now the government is paying people, please learn how to use horse. You can never tell when the steamers coming with the oil are going to be bombed, when the oil is going to be finished. Now, I remember reading in the history books that British would criticize the Indian people that why you are using only bullock? You should kill them all off and get tractor. And now they're paying £100. Please learn how to use horse. Save petrol. Too expensive. It's costing there about $4 a gallon in UK. So, actually, people may misunderstand that I'm trying to say or criticize the technological advancement. Actually, that's not my purpose. But my purpose is actually to show that an overemphasis has created an imbalance. Actually, we see how there is progression. Originally, when the big cities started to build up in India, all the village people were attracted by the high salaries to come from the Gao to the Sahar. And they came from the village to the city to get the bigger salary. But they soon found that rent was higher, expenses higher. So then they thought, well, let me go to the West. Then I'll get a very big salary. So then many of them, of course, have migrated to the United States, different countries. And many are nicely situated. So, of course, I heard a story this morning that there was one Indian tourist who traveled all over the world by bicycle. And when he came to Chicago, he had parked his bicycle on the street and he walked into a store to get some food. When he came out, he saw his bicycle, everything was stolen. So he said that, why is this? My mother told me that you don't have to worry about theft in America. Everyone there is rich, so they won't steal. But of course, what happened? Everything he got stolen. Everywhere there's some misery, everywhere there's some happiness. Maybe someplace one thinks that I'm more miserable, and someplace one thinks I'm more happy. But nobody is only happy, and nobody is only miserable. There's always two. Sitoshna sukha dukada agama paino nitya tangsataiva tatikshava. Sometimes happy, sometimes sad. This is known as what? This is this material nature. Daivi yesha gunamaya mamamaya drathaya mameva jeva padyante mayametang tarantite. Krishna says, my maya is very difficult to conquer, very difficult to get out of. But someone who surrenders to me, easily he can overcome the stringent laws. So what we're saying is that have everything. Actually, in this material world, nothing is lacking except one thing. That one thing is Krishna. Krishna must be added. Otherwise, everything is vacuum. Without that one ingredient, nothing is full. Savai pungsang paro dharmo yato bhaktir hokkaje ahaitu gya pratiyata yadma supersedati. This is how we get that supersedati, prasanatma. Sab log to sukh hota chai. Everyone wants to be sukhi, happy. But the secret is there. We have to add Krishna. We have to add Bhagavan to our lives. You see. If we think, you see, I have one devotee, he comes to our temple in Calcutta, and he tells me, Jamar airport janmo, ami America janma korbo, baswarga. Ashirvad korun. He said, please bless me that in my next birth I can be born either in America or Swarga. This is his idea. Either in heaven or in America. He equates the two. So I, of course, discourage him, said, you should actually desire to go to Krishna Lok. Because you see, there's no birth, no death. There is your actual real life. But he said, no, I read a lot of newspapers. I can understand that between the two places, either America or Swarga, these places are the best. So, of course, you know firsthand that what is the actual situation. So, Srila Prabhupada, he repeatedly said that we should see things just like India is technologically not so advanced as, say, America, the West. But the West, they're basically spiritually blind. They have no spiritual vision. So in one case you have a layman, another case you have a blind man. Angapanga darshan. Matlab, ando pango keli jayega. The lame man, he'll get on top of the blind man and say, you go here, you go, he has good eyes. That actually this Western civilization, they have got some capital, but they have no vision where they're going. They're using simply to invent newer and newer machines to do more and more useless things or to build bigger bombs. These are the two main uses. I've been living now in India 10 years. This is my second time which I've left India in 10 years. So still I'm having culture shock. I'm having culture shock coming here. All the big cars and all the machines. They took me to the big shopping mall. And so many machines. For what? They had machines to brush the teeth, machine to cut, just every kind of machine imaginable. But you look at the people, and they are unhappy. There, when the 5 o'clock bell rang, everybody was running to get out. All the employees, because they want to go home. They just recently took a Gallup poll to all the Americans, do you like your job? Do you like the work you do? Are you satisfied? 80% said, no, I don't, I can't stand the work I do. I'm only doing it for the money. And 20% of that 10%, they wouldn't say. And 10%, either they were liars or they're crazy. So, this is the situation. People are doing, but they're not satisfied. Why? Because there's not Krishna in their life. You see, I go in the villages, in UP, in Bihar, in Tamil Nadu, in Orissa, in Bengal, Assam, and there you ask the people, they're living a simple life, they don't have anything, they just have a grass hut, they have a cow, a little land, and immediately you see, but you ask them, are you happy? You want something? You say, no, I'm all right. But then their son, he goes to college. And is he happy? No, I need a watch, I need a terry cotton shirt, I need this, I need that. He's completely in anxiety. This is the difficulty. They're brainwashed. So actually, it doesn't make any difference whether you have watch or don't have watch. Whether you have Krishna, that's what counts. Actually, look at Arjuna. He was the ruler of the world. In Hastinapur, there was one government for the whole world, and he was the king, and the king's brother, Yudhishthira Arjuna. They had so much opulence, Aishwarya Purna. But they didn't have any difficulty because they had Krishna. So our philosophy is not that one has to give up. Whatever you have, all right. You've got that due to your good works. Now use that in Krishna's service and be happy. You see. This is the secret. Everyone is asking so many questions. On the radio, they're asking questions. In the morning, when the birds wake up, Pakshi, they're also asking questions, getting answers. The sports announcer, he's asking questions, getting answer. And the businessman, Kavhau, he's asking question, he's getting his answer. Housewife is asking question, getting answer. Everyone is asking question and getting the answer. But why no one is satisfied? That is the mystery. Why no one is satisfied in spite of all these questions and all the answers? Because they're not asking the right questions. Mine konhu. Who am I? Where do I come from? Where am I going? Who is the Supreme Being? What is my relationship with Him? These questions no one has time to ask. It doesn't fit within the TV schedule. You see. So this question people should ask. That is the difference between animal life and human life. Dharma, Jog, Pashu, Shavan Shavan Manusha. Dharma and religion and animal life added together equal human life. So what is human life without Dharma? Kya hai, boliye? Yes. Pashu life. That's animalistic life. So people who are intelligent, they get sick and tired of animalistic life. So actually the Indian culture can give these people direction. Actually how they can use opulence. No one knows what to do with their opulence. They're spending it on expensive and more expensive cigarettes and getting lung cancer. This is advancement. No one knows how to be happy. How to be happy, one has to be sattvic. He has to be in mode of goodness. If one has his senses controlled, then he has peace. And if he's peace, then he can be happy. And how can one control his senses in this Kali Yuga? It's not possible. Except by fixing one's mind by devotion to Krishna. Then one automatically gets control. Very easily. By chanting Hare Krishna. Little bit every day. Few moments. Offering some bhoga to Krishna. Taking the prasads. There's no reason why every family in every country around the world can't get together every night and chant Hare Krishna for a short time. There's no reason why not. Of course, there are many bhajan, there are many kirtan that are authorized. We don't mind.
We say Hare Krishna because this is known as the Maha Mantra. In the Santanaya Upanishad it says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Iti sodasakam nam nam kalikalam asanasanam natapparatupaya sarva vedesu dishyate. These 16 words, they are the medicine for all the ills of the Kali Yuga. They destroy all the kalamash, all the contamination of this Kali Yuga. And they are authorized by all the shastras, all the scriptures. So, this Hare Krishna Mahamantra is simplified in the Narada Pancharatrika. It describes that all the Vedic mantras, all the tantras, everything has been combined into one mantra. And that is the 8 syllables, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So this is not a concoction. And this is being chanted all over. And actually that it has come to the West has been predicted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Kali Yuga avatar of Krishna. He predicted, Prativi te ache, jato nagaradi gram sarvatra prachar hoibe mor naam. Which means that in every town and village throughout the world, my name will be spread. My name will be sung. This was predicted 500 years ago. And now it is true. So, we would just like to remind you about the little pastime. We sing here, Yasoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Jasoda Mai. One time Jasoda Mai went to chastise Krishna for eating dirt. And Krishna was running away. And finally, after great endeavor, Yasoda Mai caught Krishna, Balagopala, and she was going to bind him up by rope. And when he's going to bind by rope, when she would take the rope around, she would bring it, and it would be duangali, 2 fingers short. So what is this? Then she'd call, give me a longer rope. Then they'd bring a longer rope. Again, she'd take it, tie around. Again, 2 fingers short. Very unusual. Then again, she'd get another rope, a different size. Again, take it around, 2 fingers short. So she was sweating. Ha, bahut takleef ho gaya. Jitna dhari, rasi, sab duangli kam ho jata hai. So finally she simply prayed to Narayan in her heart that you please let me tie Krishna so that he will learn not to do any nonsense. I don't want him to get in trouble. Then finally Krishna said, all right. He let himself be tied. So what do those 2 fingers stand for? Aap log jante hain. Do angli kam kya matlab hai? What do the 2 fingers short mean? Anyone knows? Good guess. 1 finger means that you have to have, the devotee has to be a pure devotee. Has to have pure desire simply to please Krishna for his benefit. And other finger short means that Krishna has to give his permission. He has to give his sweet will. Without the 2 things, without the devotee's desire, and without Krishna's desire, it can't succeed. No one can force the hand over Krishna. So Yasoda, when she had the pure desire, and Krishna said, all right, then she could tie him. Otherwise, nobody can tie Krishna. So you can also tie Krishna. Lakshmi is the goddess of fortune. Everyone wants Lakshmi. But Lakshmi is chanchala. She's very, very capricious, very whimsical. She doesn't stay in one place. But she's always by the side of Narayan. So all good fortune is only there when we have Krishna. And what does that take? We can capture Krishna if we follow the footsteps of great devotees, like Hanuman, the devotee of Ramchandra, like Jasoda Mai, the holy mother of Lord Sri Krishna. We have to follow Mahajana Janagata Sapunta, great devotees, and serve the feet of devotees. Then we can capture Krishna by His sweet will when He says, all right, I'm satisfied with your service. So I thank you very much for coming here to this temple of International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Actually, this is built for your service so that you can come here and engage in devotional service so your lives can be perfect, so you can become the greatest yogis, just like there are Raja Rishis. In previous time, kings who are rishis. Now in this Kali Yuga, not only Raja, but Vaishya, Strilok, Sudra, everyone. What to speak of the Kshatriya and the Brahmanas. Everyone, all the people, they are to also become rishi. They are also to become holy by serving in Krishna consciousness. Grihe thako, bone thako, sadahari bole dako. Whether one is in the ashram as a brahmachari or whether one is in the ashram, his own grihe, grihastha ashram. Everyone can chant Hare Krishna, everyone can perfect his life. So we thank everyone for coming here and participating in these functions, and we hope that you will day by day make advancement and become more and more attached to Krishna's holy name and be blessed. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Kuch prashna hai? No questions.
I have a question.
Thank you.
What really the place where Pandavas and Kauravas were living in India? I forgot the name of the place, the capital. Was it really the seat of world in those days? And he said that they were ruling the whole world from there.
Yes, it describes that when Yudhisthira assumed the throne in Hastinapur, he performed the Ashwamedha Yajna, the Rajasuya and Ashwamedha Yajna. And Ashwamedha means that they sent the horse, four horses, to four directions. And the countries where these horses went are described so far as China, Europe, Africa. The descriptions given there correspond with all the continents. At that time, America was considered to be like a garbage pit. There was not considered anything here civilized. But all the other countries, these horses went, and all the kings of those places, they accepted Yudhisthira as the emperor. This is very clearly stated both in Mahabharata as well as in Srimad Bhagavat Puranam. Not only that, but after Yudhisthira, Parikshit Maharaj, he also performed this yajna, and he also maintained this vast power The dating of that is about 5,000 years. Even today, there are temples in Indonesia, in Thailand, in Cambodia, very big Vishnu temples. There are temples even in South America of Vishnu, of Kali, Durga. Where did these temples come from if there was not Vedic civilization? It was a very conscious plot by the British to reduce the stature of Indian history and to bring up Greek, Roman, all these things. But they have no explanation how these murtis, how these temples are in different parts of the world. Because if the Indians were too proud of their culture, they could not have been subjugated by the British. So in this way, history has been twisted. But actually, the Indian civilization is going back thousands and thousands of years before the Greek and other civilizations. This is also confirmed. Alexander the Great, when he went to India, he found nobody cared for him. And he found very big civilizations. He couldn't find anyone to fight with. And finally, when they fought with him, he was, as you know, driven back. Yes?
Since the West, we have so many crises nowadays. We have the gas crisis, the energy crisis, the unemployment. When do you think the West will be out of all these crises?
When they understand Krishna consciousness, then they can actually understand what is the real crisis. That is birth, death, old age, and disease. And this crisis they don't have a clue for. Because they're thinking crises is how to enjoy more and more. Therefore, there's energy shortage. Because there's misuse of energy. There's misuse of practically everything that Krishna is giving. Therefore, there's crises. Because as we exploit Mother Nature, then she starts to stop giving. But as we utilize everything in the Lord's service, then nature begins to give more and more abundantly. When Maharaj Prithu came, then he provided the whole world very sumptuously with all the necessities. People are not understanding that ultimately wealth is coming from the food grains. And the food grains are coming from rain. And rain is coming from yajna, sacrifice. And nobody is doing any sacrifice to speak of. Therefore, so many difficulties are coming. If people just become a little Krishna conscious, just a little bit, little pious, then you can see so many crises go away. But so long as the people are becoming more and more selfish, more and more engrossed in material desire, then they become more and more implicated and crises goes on increasing. The more people eat meat, the more they're forced to fight wars. Because they have to pay for the pap of killing so many innocent animals. You see. If you help us, you see, then it can go quick. Because there's a difference, is that one person who doesn't know anything, if he goes on, you see, doing mistakes, say that someone is committing crime, but he doesn't know that it's a crime. He's just your boka. You know, doesn't know he's doing it, because he doesn't know any better. So, he'll get one sentence. But if somebody knows better, and he goes and does it anyway, you see. If one knowingly drinks poison, that is worse than if unknowingly one is drinking. So in the Western country, they don't know any better. They don't know what is life. If you ask someone, what is life? I don't know. He doesn't know what life is. Eat, drink, and be merry. Get a buck. They don't know what's life. If some religious person say yes to die and you go to heaven, what is heaven? I don't know. Who lives there? God. What does he look like? I don't know. You see, they have very shallow understanding, not so they can't blame them too much until they get the opportunity to make it a choice. Then if they refuse it, that's their misfortune. But in India, everybody knows what is punarjanma, what is rebirth. Everybody knows that who is Bhagavan. Basically, this is taught. In spite of that, they're neglecting. They're being misled by so many leaders who are discouraging them. Instead of build up your economy and maintain your dharma standard, they're saying dharma, this is sectarian state. We can help no dharma, no tax exemption, no help, nothing. Instead, only the minorities are getting help. So therefore, because the people know, yet they're being led into adharma, therefore they're forced to suffer more. In the Shastra it says that of all the dvipas, of all the continent, one continent is Punyabhumi. Punyabhumi Bharat. That is the place for doing punya. But if people do pap in the Punyabhumi, then it's worse. And other places meant for Sangbhog, you can enjoy. You see. So this is a difficulty. Because they know better, but they're committing offenses to sadhus, and so many bogus sadhus are also there. So-called sadhus, who are not really sadhus. That people can't say who is the real sadhu and who is the so-called sadhu. And they get misled. Therefore, situation is critical. Also, there's been 1,200 years of foreign rule. Of course, within the 25 years of independence, it's not improved. Because this standard ideology is Western. That is a difficulty. So the Indian people, they won't be happier just with technology. And the Western people, they're not happy with just technology. Day by day, they're getting more and more degraded. Now the priest in the church, homosexuals are becoming priests and making marriage between two men, two women. What is that? That's civilization. This thing is unheard of in Vedic culture, practically speaking. So that is a difficulty.